The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
I'm sure that newsreader just said that Rafa Nadal retired with a pie injury. I think she's been listening to Danny P on Afternoons. All hail the chicken balti pie. This is the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour until 7 o'clock. Loads to come on the show. We'll be talking Leeds United as ever, plus reviewing the rest of the Yorkshire sides. Can Leeds make the top six still? Are Hull City doomed this season? Are they going to be in League One next season? Sheffield Wednesday, they're yet to concede under their new manager, but also yet to score. We'll discuss the Owls in full. We'll look at the rest of the Football League as well, where Pep Clatet has been sacked by Oxford. Frank Lampard, the favourite to take the job. Is he doing the right thing in dropping down the leagues to start his managerial career? Southend United, they've appointed Danny Parkinson, favourite Chris Powell, as their new manager. Former Huddersfield boss, of course, taking over from Phil Brown. We'll have it all and more. Crawley Town Watch, Owen Coyle on the FL 72. Got a bit excited there, Tom.
Did you?
Yeah, just went over. Just crashed it. Just too never excited mind. About tonight.
Never mind. It happens, doesn't it?
It does happen. Every now and again. Get too excited. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. How are you?
Very good.
Good stuff.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Good. I always enjoy our niceties.
Yeah, we have to pretend that we've not spent the day together and just like we've just seen each other for the first time. Yeah, no, that's nice.
All right. It's all right.
It's very forced.
We'll discuss everything and more. Leeds United, of course, defeat at the weekend against Millwall. You were at the under-23 games last night as well,
yes,
where you saw Jeroy Grott score. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss Leeds. We'll discuss the rest of the Yorkshire clubs, all the managerial changes, a bit of transfer news as well. And looking forward to Crawley Town Watch this week as well. And seeing how little time left we can ensure that you've got to do good days, bad days.
Yes.
At the end of the show. But we'll kick off, as ever, with Leeds United. A thriller against Millwall, but on the wrong end for Leeds United. A bizarre game.
Yeah, remarkable game of football. The fact that at half-time it was dead and buried, it was done, that's it, the game's over. Leeds are now damage limitation, trying to just keep Millwall out more than anything. And then all of a sudden, they come back, they come out fighting, get the early second-half goal, and Millwall collapse in 15 minutes, and Leeds take full advantage. It was remarkable. Millwall then get back, get the victory. Obviously, Lasoga and Roof asking to come off because they're just knackered. Probably highlights where the squad is a bit light, that he didn't really have a striker to bring on. But remarkable game of football. Absolutely remarkable. And yeah, Leeds couldn't get the points in the end. You just felt at 3-2 there was still another goal to come in it. You just didn't know which way it was going to go.
Obviously a sending off for Leeds as well. Liam Cooper, 3-3 now. He was unlucky with the sending off, but
yeah,
is that just coincidence, or is this disciplinary thing becoming a real thing for Leeds?
It's now a real thing, whether like it or not. It was, or it's happened, and Leeds have just got to kind of deal with that now. It's obviously a situation they didn't want. For me, it wasn't a red card. I feel that the Millwall players and the reaction between the benches afterwards made up the referee's mind. Bit of gamesmanship. Liam Cooper was the victim of that. But yeah, it's a real issue. It is. I don't know what Christiansen can do. He said afterwards, you could tell he was really, really annoyed after the game. He says, well, you know, at least this wasn't for a spit or a headbutt. At least he just went too aggressive in a tackle. And that kind of sums up the situation for it. But yeah, real big disciplinary problem. And they now go at least two games without four first team players, which is just ridiculous. And they're going to struggle.
Yeah, it's hard. And it has come completely at the wrong time. Obviously, December, we spoke about that on the show, where there were some real winnable games for Leeds to get themselves back into the position. They did it. Job done. All right, maybe a couple of results you could argue that they could have done better, but I thought December was a really good month. January's been frustrating with all the sendings off. Leeds obviously now dropping down the table, but February is very, very difficult with the games on paper.
Yeah, and Leeds are now going into that in a bad run of form. They go to Hull next week. Interesting to see how they get on there. I think it'd probably be an achievement just to finish with 11 men more than anything. Take it slowly, and then they go to Cardiff, play Cardiff, Sheffield United, Bristol City and Derby. That's a ridiculously tough run of games there. You've got four teams from the top six, of which they won't be back to full strength until after that, with Saiz, who's got the longest ban of everyone. Or him and Cooper have both got four games left. So they go to Derby at least full strength, you'd hope. But a real tough run at the moment. They go to Hull next week. I know Hull haven't been performing the best, but they've still got to go there, and now pressure is on to win the game. Interesting to see if there will be any new faces in by the time that comes around.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see.
But with the games to come afterwards, that whole game is, you know, quite a lot of pressure on that one. That is one that Leeds do need to win.
Yeah, they don't like getting drawn into this whole we need to win, must win. But the fact is, you feel that it really is a must win. So they've only really got themselves to blame for that situation. Millwall, like I said, the Millwall game was remarkable. We saw the best and the worst in that squad. The fact that first half they were dreadful. Defensively, they were an absolute disaster. Liam Cooper getting sent off. Similar to Cardiff, they go into the break with 10 men sent off. Liam Cooper was sent off that day as well. 2-0 down. But in the second half, they come out and they play as we can or have seen them play. They went to 3-4-2. Played the wing backs, dropped it. I think Berardi played centre back for the second half, and then they were remarkable. It was just an incredible 15 minutes of football where they found themselves 3-2 up from 2-0 down. So we saw the best and worst out of them. And it's probably more frustrating because they're showing they can do it, and yet they can only pick to do it when pretty much the game seems all but lost.
Obviously. It is tight in this top six race, but leads down to 10th now, and it kind of leads on to Aaron's comment on Facebook saying, do you think the playoff dream is over for Leeds United unless we get a proven centre-back and a proven championship striker? I think we're finished. How can a team go from top of the table beating Sunderland and Forest away, playing scintillating football, to this?
I don't know, it's one of the many questions you've got about Leeds. It's just a remarkable kind of remarkable turn of events. You can't really put your finger on it. I don't think Christiansen can as well. It's a bit of an interesting one, but you know, I don't think the playoffs dream is over for them, if they want to put it as a dream. I think that there's still opportunity. We're still in the transfer window. It's not, you know, we're still in end of January. Whether they get someone in or not, we'll have to wait and see. So, I don't know. It's a difficult one to say, but for me, I think they're well in it. They've shown that they can do it, and that's probably the most frustrating thing. They just need to find some consistency now. Interesting to see. I thought De Bock played well. Interesting to see how Adam Forshaw gets in when they come to it, but they need to be at full strength. They can't expect to do anything when multiple first-teamers are out through suspension, and when it's 3 out of 4 of them are for silly little things. You know, Calvin Phillips got his yellow card for throwing the ball away. Well, you know you're going to get carded. That falls into the stupidity category. Then they've not got much hope. But I don't know. I think they've still got it. They've still got a chance. They just need to get a run together, get some consistency and get their heads together more than anything, and stay at full strength.
Yeah, when you look at some of the other teams, I mean, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I mean, Brentford have been on a decent run of form.
Yeah.
But you would never have said, you know, at the end of January that Brentford would be ahead of Leeds in the table. Shows that the championship is so interchangeable with, you know, the way that results can swing over a 3 or 4 game period. But only three points off the playoffs. But now with three teams in front of them, with Fulham in seventh, forwards Sheffield United in six, you know, there's a lot of teams in this mix now. Are Leeds good enough, do you think, to get there, to be knocking on the door by the end?
I think they're good enough in the team. I think the starting 11 is very good enough. They just need to make sure they've got the squad there that's capable of doing it. Now, they've brought in the left back, they've brought in a central midfielder. If they can get maybe a striker in, potentially a centre back in some capacity, maybe, but that's probably bottom of the priority list. If they can get a striker in, I think they've actually got a bit of an outside shout of doing it. if, though, we never know, they could come out this the end of these next five games, and if they get good results, then that could be a massive confidence booster. They can, you never know, if they can win the two home games, they've shown already that they can go to the likes of Bristol City and win away. If they can go to Bramall Lane and get something. If they can go to, I know it's going to be a difficult one against Derby, but if they can go there and get a point whilst winning the home games, then maybe the picture looks different. I think that's your make or break. If they come out of that with four losses, or one draw, two draws and two losses, then you start to write it off a bit. But I think that could actually be quite a make or break four games for Leeds in the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that's the concern, isn't it, with losing the players that they're going to have missing over this period, that it's, you know, what the gap could be by the end of the end of the period.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the after that Derby game.
Well, it is that. But I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing. It's going to work either way. It could look disastrous. They could be miles off it, or they could come out of it with 2/3 wins of the four, and then it looks a lot prettier. It's not just the points, but it's the fact they're beating the teams around them as well, which they've not really done this season, bar maybe Bristol City away. I know they beat Middlesbrough as well. But if they can, if they can get out of that period with good results, it's going to be tough. I think that's why the next week or so is quite crucial. Then who knows? They just need to be able to make sure that they've got the squad there to do it, and make sure they've got the team to do it. More than anything, they need to avoid these silly suspensions. But the 11 are capable of it. It's just if they have a bit of luck along the way as well.
Elsewhere on Facebook, Adam Argyle talking about Ross McCormack potentially.
I can't see it. I can't see it. I think there's too much money involved in terms of transfer fee and wages.
He also asked, would he be welcome?
I think majority would probably welcome. But then you've got to question his recent years and going out on loan, the whole Garden Gates issue at Villa, stuff like that. You've got to wonder, if Leeds carry on a bit of a bad run of form, is he someone that you're going to want to work around? You know, they've not been in great form, but imagine there's quite a good relationship between the squad. It's quite a fine art trying to work out who to introduce and who not to introduce. So on a football inside, I think he'll do a very good job. I'm not sure in terms of the money that it will cost in terms of wages, and with recent form kind of behind the scenes, and as Leeds found out when he left, if they'd be willing to take that risk.
Elsewhere, let's have a little look into some of the Facebook comments before we talk about the under-23s last night. And yes. Tom, very impressed with Jeroy Grott, finally. Aaron McCaw,
your words.
We're in it. But can you see Leeds bettering Borough, Fulham, Sheffield United at this moment in time? Aaron doesn't think so.
Yeah, but it's at this moment in time. We could be here a month later and the picture could look a lot different. There was one moment where we thought Sheffield United are going to win the league, and they've dropped off massively, and now we're talking about maybe not even making the playoffs. So same with Leeds, the picture changes massively, and they've got four big games coming up after Hull, which if they can get positive results, which, you know, a lot of it's down to on the day, if you can turn up on the day, which they have done at certain points this season, then who knows, it could give everyone the confidence, could give everyone a lift going into the final 12 or so games, and it's a bit of a lottery. They just need to hit a good run of form at some point if they're to do it.
Looking at some of those clubs that have been mentioned, I mean, Middlesbrough won again at the weekend. It's win-loss at the moment under Tony Pulis, but they seem to be picking up more points. They're not far off it, only 2 points now behind Sheffield United. Do you see them just getting stronger and stronger, Tony Pulis, now in that time to assess the squad? Obviously, Forshaw came to Leeds, deciding that probably that he's not physical enough, and you know, there's been talk of Adam Clayton going as well, and definitely Pulis starting to mould them now in his image.
Yeah, I don't know. When they bought Pulis in, they basically said he's the type of players we got, or we currently have, he suits it. The style of football exactly suits it. They should come in and hit the ground running, which they've not really. They've been very win-lose. There's been a lot of inconsistency. So I don't know, but they're still up there. They're still, obviously, they're a point above Leeds. They're still up there. They've still got the quality. That's the thing. Talk about Leeds, but you look at the likes of the squads of the likes of Middlesbrough, of teams in the playoffs as well, like Aston Villa, who are in very good run of form currently. The squads are a lot better. Maybe starting 11s, they could probably compete in certain aspects, but the squad and the squad depth, as we've seen so many times with Leeds, when they played Derby, they were bringing certain players off the bench who were nowhere near the Championship standard of players that Derby could bring off the bench. So in terms of the strength and depth, they've really got it at Middlesbrough. It's just if they can get some consistency, and they're only 2 points off. A couple more good results will help. They take on Sheffield Wednesday this weekend, or weekend after, I should say, where they've already beaten them once. They could beat them again, and then they could find themselves in the playoffs at the end of it. So they're well in the running. I'm just not sure on Pulis if he'll be able to get them going. Seems a decent enough appointment, but it's very much, right, he suits this style of football. Well, what if that doesn't work then? Then where do you go? Do you have to have a squad overhaul? Mm. Because that's been bits of whispering at Middlesbrough that maybe they do need to get a few players out before they can actually go anywhere.
I do agree with that, that they've probably got to have a bit of turnover. It looks like they're doing it slowly, and I think they'll probably progress slowly under Pulis and probably be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. What about Fulham? Hammered Burton at the weekend, who've now conceded 52 goals this season, 6-0. But a lot of people now saying Fulham, maybe this team now that comes with a run at the end of the season, and a few people in the media at the weekend listening to a couple of phone-ins thinking that they maybe could have a run at the automatics with the form they're in.
Doing the same as last year, aren't they? Second half of the season, and it's getting them to where they want to be. They've just got a bit earlier this year. They're really talented side. We had high expectations of them at the start of the season. They were pretty much at the other end of the table, but you've got to look at that. That starting 11 is a very good Championship 11. Then on the bench, Tom Kearney's under interest from West Brom. Apparently they're not going to sell him because they want to keep him. So they've got some ambition there. They've got real quality throughout. And they're, once again, they're creeping up. They're like Derby into second. They've gone under the radar a bit. And I think that suits them. It suited them last year. I probably wouldn't put past them to have a run at the automatics, to have a run at second. They're in very good form at the moment. They take on Barnsley at the weekend, which again is very winnable. So we'll have to wait and see. But for me, I think they've got it within them. I think Jokanović is a very underrated manager in this division. So yeah, for me, I think they are capable of doing it, but it's just there's a lot of teams up there that you could probably say the same thing about. So we'll have to wait and see in a few games' time.
A few other comments coming in on Facebook. Philip De Bruyne, half a team suspended. Super hard month ahead, maybe down to 16th or even lower, he's saying. Is 43 points enough to keep them out of relegation? It's a bit harsh.
You're basically saying Leeds are not going to win again. It's like, well, eventually, they will. It's just my concern for Leeds is the squad. I've said it before, that starting 11's top six quality. I don't think the squad is. They're in a similar position to last year. But again, it's if you have a bit of luck on your side, maybe that could get you through. They showed it in the first half of the season that they could stay in and around the top six. Even when they dropped out, they could find a way back in. If they can have a bit of luck in the second half of the season, then just try and sneak into the playoffs. Once you're in, it's a lottery. But it's a big ask. I think it's a very much a make or break next 7 to 8 days for Leeds. We know what the squad needs. They're making some great signings for the under-23s, some great potential players in a few years' time who could be brilliant. But I think the first team at the moment, with how open the division is as well, then there's a real opportunity there, and you feel it would be a big opportunity missed if they don't strengthen.
I've just been handed a bit of paper. Phil Neville is the new England's women team manager. He's been doing the job. The Redders revolution,
yes,
the women's game. So Neil Redfern going to the Donny Bells. Now Phil Neville in England. Just on that, is that a good appointment, do you think? Obviously, we're talking about Frank Lampard going to Oxford in a bit. Phil Neville going into the women's game. You've got to impress, Tom.
What's he achieved, though, as in management, apart from being part of the infamous Man United spell and then going to Valencia and doing nothing? Is it Valencia who's out?
Ryan Giggs has got the Wales job.
Well, there you go. Yeah, if Ryan Giggs just hangs around long enough. Because I think he was a coach over there as well, wasn't he? So I don't know. I'm not too sure. I think there's probably better coaches out there if you're looking at ex-pros. I'm not sure what he's actually achieved, but there you go. We'll have to wait and see. The England women's team have had a lot of success in recent years in terms of how far they've got in tournaments. I suppose they'll be judged on that. Not too sure, though. But it's been rumoured for a while, isn't it? Rumoured for a while.
Yeah, he's been in talks. So Phil Neville is the new manager of the England women's national team. And how about this for a bit of deduction from Mark Wilson? Brought you earlier on afternoons the news that Josh Warrington's fighting Lee Selby for the IBF featherweight world title Saturday the 19th of May in Leeds, we're led to believe. And Michael McIntyre is on tour at the First Direct Arena
Where is there an arena stadium type place that would be big enough to host that in Leeds? Because it's only the First Direct Arena, I'm afraid, isn't it? There's where else could he go?
There we go.
It's going to happen eventually, Ellen Road, isn't it? It's sooner or later he's going to fight it. That's the one he wants. They've been hinting at it a lot, though, haven't they, on a lot of promo videos. I know Leeds United have done stuff with him. There's a lot of stuff at Elland Road, so. But obviously the First Direct Arena is the only place you can go, so Michael McIntyre's got it that night, I'm afraid.
Booked up for Josh Warrington. If you had the choice, Michael McIntyre at the First Direct Arena, if you've got that ticket, the missus is looking forward to it, Tom. She really wants to go and see Michael McIntyre. But Josh Warrington, he's fighting Lee Selby at Elland Road, a historic world title night of boxing at the home of your beloved Leeds United.
Warrington at Elland Road. Can watch McIntyre anytime. He's always touring, isn't he? It's going to be a one-off if he fights at Elland Road.
True. He'd be on the telly anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can just get a DVD of it. It's not the same.
There we go. Mark Wilson, super sleuth. He's worked that one out. Looks like Elland Road, the destination for Josh Warrington, Lee Selby, Saturday, the 19th of May. Unless they pull one on us and it ends up down in Cardiff or something.
Or Michael McIntyre's at Elland Road. And then they relocate him to accommodate the Warrington fight.
Probably more expensive to go and watch Michael McIntyre.
Well, yeah, it probably is. Probably is.
But anyway, Josh Warrington, that world title fight has been announced today. Good news for the city of Leeds that we get to see some world title action. Back to Leeds United, and you're at the under-23 games last night. J-Roy Grott in action against Huddersfield. A few people on Facebook already saying that that's good news for him to drop down to the under-23s.
Yeah, he started, played the full 90 minutes of the win over Huddersfield, took his goal very well. I think first half, I was a bit concerned because didn't really look, his attitudes or his body language didn't suggest that he really wanted to be there. But second half came out, played very well, linked up very well with the midfield, with the wingers, took his goal very well. As well, made some good runs behind. To be honest, I was probably more impressed with his strike partner in Oliver Sarkic, who they signed from Benfica. He's been on loan for half a season. They managed to get him on a permanent deal. I think that's actually a really good bit of business by Leeds. He looks a very, very talented player on the ball. Good ball control, can play with the ball quite close to his feet as well, can do a lot in a small, short space of time. It's just one of those nights for him where he was getting into the right positions. The finishing just wasn't there. Had a penalty very well saved by Joel Coleman. But overall, very impressed with him. I think it's starting to come together for the under-23s. They've got some real talent in there. Romario Vieira, Ronaldo's brother, played centre-back alongside Paddy O'Connor. And he was very good. Very good, very confident. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw him with the first team very soon. But yeah, they put Grott into there as well. Malik Wilkes didn't play, but he was also at Elland Road last night. There might have been suggestions that he went to Spain as he wasn't there. He was at Elland Road watching it. They obviously dropped him to accommodate J-Roy Grott. And yeah, did well second half. I just think, why was this not from the start of the season? Because obviously he needs his confidence back more than anything. So it's great putting him in now, but you're wondering if it's a couple of months, not too late, but if he's lost a couple of months from it. Because if Leeds were in the similar position now and Grott had been in the under-23s since the start of the season, scoring goals, playing confidently, maybe this is the time you wanted to introduce him to first team. But, yeah, I did read or listen to the interview with the under-23s manager, who said he's been with them for a couple of days. He's very eager to learn. wanting to do or wanting to improve as well. So that's good news. And his attitude seems to be in the right place, according to Carlos Corberan, I think it is. So, yeah, all positive, though. And it was good to see him get the goal as well. Hopefully do his confidence a world of good.
Yeah, Wayne there says, very impressed with Jack Clark when he came up in the 23s.
Played down the left-hand side, linked up very well with Tyler Denton. Came close to scoring after a nice move between the two of them. But again, he's another player, of course, as part of the team down at Newport. Didn't get onto the pitch as the game panned out. We know that didn't really present an opportunity to do it. But again, one of the many youngsters they've got down there who look a real prospect for the future. And again, Leeds look very good for the future. They've added again today with another one for the under-23s. You feel that the area to target is a couple of players for the now. Players who can do it now and do it in the future as well. But future looks very bright over at Leeds after, of course, under a previous owner in Chileno, the academy suffered quite greatly over kind of his spell in charge. So they've recovered it very well by the looks of it.
Just on Malik Wilkes, he's been away at Accrington Stanley, has scored goals on loan in League Two. Obviously, we're led to believe, or we've seen the rumours, that Leeds have been linked with quite a few strikers. Obviously, McCormack, the one people are discussing at the moment, but Marriott from Peterborough, obviously, has been talked about in the past. With the deadline approaching and the suspensions Leeds have got, Do you keep Wilkes around in that first-team environment rather than another loan?
I'd say so. I think it's a difficult one because you don't want to throw him in and go, you're the answer, essentially. We need goals. Please fix it for us. It's a big weight to put on him at such a young age. He looks a very, very good player for the future, though, and I think they want to try and keep him around. I think they want to do the same with Louis Coyle as well, potentially Tyler Denton, where they want to keep him around the first-team environment. But I think as the closer we get to the deadline, they're still looking, but maybe they'll miss out on a couple of top targets. But as with Forshaw, as we've seen with other deals as well, they can get deals done very quickly. So Forshaw, we're talking in the space of 36 hours from initial talks to sign the contract and announce. So they can turn it over very quickly if they do go and try and get a striker in before the deadline. But if not, if the season does become a bit of a write-off towards the end, maybe that's when you introduce the likes of Malik Wilkes and play them, give them some first-team football when you've got nothing to play for, and you know, hopefully it'll help them out in the long run and help the team out in the long run as well.
The team out in Spain at the moment always seems to split people when you know there is an opportunity for a break to get a bit of sun on the backs, but a bit of a different environment. You're in favour of it?
I like it. I think people seem to have looked at Spain and gone, well, they're off on a holiday. How are they being rewarded with a holiday? I don't know about your holidays, but I don't go out and do double training sessions on mine and do lots of fitness.
Do you not?
No, I tend to just go to wherever selling cheap beer, to be honest, whenever I go to Spain. But, you know, they're out there. It's warm weather training. It's doing a lot of fitness in the heat. Makes you work harder, makes you sweat. It's same as, like, for example, if they went to Switzerland to do altitude training, it wouldn't be a holiday. It'd be, well, fitness is an issue, so we're going to take them to a high altitude where there's less air, so then they start to work harder, etc. Then when they go back down to normal altitude, they'll be fitter, they'll be able to run for longer. Same with warm weather. I think it's a good idea. They've seen an opportunity here. The weather's not been great. If we saw it at the weekend, we saw the snow, the rain. Get out to this place, wherever they are in Spain, this kind of training camp where it's got the facilities, got pitches, got everything. It's like the Aspire Academy, which they're linked with, pretty much similar setup to Spain. Go across, do some training for a week. You've got the week off. Make the opportunity of it. In fact, I can't see how it's a reward. It's the fact they're probably having to train more than they would if they were here. Just because they're in the warm weather doesn't mean they're going to be lying on a beach constantly. They might have an afternoon where they can recover, but they've seen an opportunity. I think it's quite good. I think it is good of the club that they've seen the chance to have a week off. Or a week's time between a game, and they've gone, right, we're going to go and do a specialist training camp where we can work on things that we need to really work on. So I think it's a good move, and obviously the sports science behind it, etc. They've seen an opportunity, and I think it's probably more promising that they're willing to act on it.
Kev says the trip to Spain will make Leeds ready for the Hull weather next week.
It's lovely in Hull. It's always lovely.
Always says Derby seems a great prospect from Orient, some people behind the scenes are doing their homework.
Yeah, having read some of the reports from people who kind of cover Leighton Orient, etc., they're saying he's a real prospect, you know, talking about that he could be a real player in the future. And, you know, with Leighton Orient's current position as a club, it's a bit difficult to keep hold of him if there's championship interest from Leeds. So, seems a good addition. Seems that they really are building for the future in a couple of years' time. I know he's only on a 2.5-year deal, but obviously they'll give him a new deal if they think it's working out well. He could have some real good players for the future.
Let's move on and talk about some of the other sides. So Leeds' next opponents will be Hull. Defeated by Sunderland at the weekend. The battle of two of the relegated Premier League teams from last year who are having miserable seasons. Sunderland remain in the bottom three despite that win, but level on points now with Hull. 25, they're just a place outside the relegation zone. Could both of those go down still?
Probably, potentially, yeah. It's similar to League One. It's very open in the Championship. I spoke last week about how tight it was in the bottom half. Again, you're looking at 10 points separates or 9 points separates, 22nd and 15th, so a lot of teams are in there. But, yeah, Hull are really, really struggling at the moment. Managerial change hasn't really made the instant impact they wanted. And pretty much joint on points with Sunderland now. It's looking very bleak.
Yeah, there's only three between the bottom six.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable. I think Birmingham and Sunderland's wins in the past couple of weeks has really dragged everyone else in. It was looking like there was going to be a bit of a gap forming, and all of a sudden, a couple of results later, it's a different picture. I think, not saying they will get relegated, but Sheffield Wednesday for me are in real danger. I know they made the managerial change and they've not conceded. They're not scoring either. They're only 7 points off. Speak about the top end. Same with the bottom end. A couple of games, the swing could be completely different. I don't think they will go down, but they're really in danger of getting dragged in at the moment.
But you've got a manager that comes in, again, doesn't know the division. They've no real idea whether he's going to be skilled in the Championship. We've seen other guys come in. Slutsky at Hull, you know, didn't really get to grips with the division. No, all right, Thomas Christiansen is doing a decent job of it for me, having no experience. But, you know, there are many, many cases of clubs just bringing in managers from abroad quite randomly and, you know, it just not working out and them just getting sucked in.
Yeah, it's... Again, it is that it could not work out. It could be a case of, you know, great, he comes with whatever kind of CV he had, you know, said Slutsky there at Hull. He had a great CV and it didn't work out. Like I said, the 2-0-0s, great defensively, but you're going, well, you can't just draw 0-0 every week. Eventually, you are going to have to win some games, score some goals. So I'll have to wait and see, but big test for Wednesday now, going to Middlesbrough at the weekend. Again, it's just a game at a time, really, because we could be two games down the line and they could be, what, 2 points, 1 point maybe, away from the relegation zone. You never know, but in danger of getting dragged in. It's always a risk whenever you get a new manager, especially a manager who has no real experience within the division. So we'll have to wait and see, but it's been just a disaster of a season so far for Wednesday, and Carlos has gone off to Swansea and is weirdly winning games, especially against Liverpool, yeah, with his weird analogies that he keeps doing.
Yeah, doing very well, Carlos Carvajal. Or is it Carvalhal now? He's moved to the Premier League.
It's whatever.
It's changed.
It's whatever he wants it to be.
Tell you what's an interesting game at the weekend. Obviously, Burton thrashed by Fulham 6-0, but they host Reading.
Yes.
Which, again, when we're saying, you know, there's 3 points separating the bottom six. You know, Reading seventh from bottom on 29 points. Obviously, a really good season last year. But you just can't write Burton off from winning these kind of games. Obviously, they've beaten Sheffield Wednesday recently, a point against Norwich as well. So, you know, against those teams, they're showing they're up for the fight. And, you know, Reading, another side that really now looking like they're going to be dragged in.
Yeah, Reading, a really weird one. They were pretty much slammed the style of football they played last year, but would always say it was effective. This season, it's been far from effective. They are really struggling. It's quite remarkable how, especially kind of nowadays, you can go from playoff finalists to real struggling relegation candidates. But That's the position they find themselves in. The form's just been atrocious. It's been absolutely atrocious at the moment. You've got to look at the fact the only win came in the FA Cup against Stevenage, which you expect in a replay they should be winning anyway. You've got to go back to start of December. 2nd of December was the first win away at Sunderland. After that, the form's just been completely dreadful. They've got a bit of an FA Cup weekend now where they break it up. They play Sheffield Wednesday. Of course, in the same division, it might not necessarily be the same team, but a good chance to get, obviously, a bit of a cup run going, but also try and get a victory over a team who are around and about where they are. It won't affect the league, but it might help confidence. And then, yeah, Burton, Millwall, yeah, that's after that as well.
Isn't it? Yeah,
that's huge, huge games for them. So much like Sheffield Wednesday, there are teams down there, but they can so easily be dragged into a real relegation trouble. And I think, I'll be honest, I think they actually are in trouble at the moment. And it's just remarkable how it's gone so wrong in such what is a short space of time from the playoff final to now.
Yeah, Stam, I remember a while ago there was a few rumours that he was going to be sacked. Are you surprised in the way the game is at the moment that he's still there?
I think so. I think, you know, Sheffield Wednesday stuck by Carlos for so long based on the fact of where he took them. But then you're going, well, Yap Stam's come in, had a great season last season, in the last campaign, where they made it to penalties in the Championship playoff final. They lost out on the lottery of what was a penalty shootout and didn't get promoted. But then they've really got nowhere near replicating that. They're just free-falling down the table. And it doesn't matter if they get you to a playoff final, if they're going to get you relegated the next season. Really surprised, actually, that he hasn't. They haven't sacked him yet. I suppose we'll have to wait and see that in a couple of games' time, results aren't improving. They're dragged into the relegation zone. Then probably a change will be made there out of kind of panic and necessity. But yeah, surprised, given the situation of some managers at some clubs, the situation just kind of how managers are seen in football now. He's lasted this long. Results have been far from good. And their only win in the last two or so months has come against Stevenage in the Cup at home, which they should be winning. So, yeah, a bit of a surprise he's still in the job.
Just a quick word on League One. We'll talk some of the managerial matters in a minute. Chris Powell going in at Southend. But a couple of our Yorkshire sides in action. Well, all of them in League One in action tonight. We've got a Yorkshire derby as Rotherham host Bradford. Obviously Rotherham, they're on a decent run of form, again back to 7th in the table, whereas Bradford stuttering. 3 defeats now, last 5 back-to-back defeats now for Stuart McCall's side after losing to Bristol Rovers at the weekend. You fancy Rotherham tonight?
Yeah, you would do, given their recent form. You fancy Bradford away from home more than you do at Valley Parade, though. That's probably their only saving grace. But then they've went and lost to Bristol Rovers at the weekend. The rumours continue to fly around Bradford in terms of various positions, but on Charlie Wyke as well. Found the comment of how they keep saying kind of the stance is he's not for sale, and yet they come out and say that unless someone has £5 million, they're wasting their time. That sounds to me like a price tag. Like your striker is not for sale, is suddenly for sale for £5 million. So, yeah, the atmosphere doesn't really get any better at Bradford, and they're sliding down the table a bit, which, you know, not too long ago we were talking about them as being top two, and now there's a massive gap. There's 7 points between them and Blackburn and Shrewsbury, who are joint on points in second and third. And, again, if they don't win tonight, they could be, you know, near out of the playoffs, which would be quite remarkable given how they were at the start of the season, where we really fancied them for automatic.
Yeah, and obviously if they don't win tonight as well, they've already played 28. The others you mentioned there, Blackburn and Shrewsbury, have played 27, so they'll be two games shy of that as well.
So they could be what? Could be on 48, over to 58, up to what, 12 points? Yeah. 13 points off automatic. And at this stage of the season, you're thinking that's just far too much to overcome. And if White does leave in the next week, he might not. Someone might be willing to pay the money to prize him away. Are they going to be able to find an able replacement? Are they going to be willing to spend the money in finding a replacement? I'm not too sure if they would.
Rotherham would go within a point of Bradford. My tip at the start of the season, fancied Warnie to have a good one. He's doing it. He's doing the job. Would you fancy them if they win tonight? The momentum carrying them through. Look, just going unbeaten at the moment. They're not drawing many games either. They're 13 wins on the board, 5 draws, 10 defeats this season. And it's taken them a long way. This confidence they seem to have got back.
Yeah, they've bounced back well from that run of form where at the start of the season, like you said, they were flying high. They were looking like top six candidates, and then they went on a bit of a bad run of form where they struggled to pick up pretty much any points. They were getting the odd draw, but they were really struggling. And they managed to bounce back fantastically from that. If they win tonight, or even a draw tonight, would take them to 9 games, I think it is, unbeaten, which is fantastic in this division. And yeah, why not? Top six, it seems very open at the moment. You're looking at Charlton, who, decent form, have recovered it a bit, but with the whole takeover potential talk, etc., everything going off, whether that'll distract them, derail their season a bit. Bradford, spoke about them, if they fall down the table a bit, they could obviously take a place there. And then Peterborough, who, if they can keep the likes of Marriott and Madison past the end of the season, they've got a very talented group of players there. Always an outside shout for top six most of the time, or a shout to finish in the top six. So it's a bit of competition, bit of openness going for those final kind of 2/3 places in the playoffs. And yeah, why not Rotherham? They're in really good run of form at the moment. They've got the talent. I think we kind of praised Paul Warne a bit last season. What could he do? He kind of inherited a mess. Just do what you can get. We'll give you a season at the end to have a real good go at it. They are having a real good go at it, and fair play, Quite happy that Paul Warne's been able to do that. And if they can finish in the top six after last season, after the championship season they have, it'd be quite a remarkable achievement given the amount of work that was needed to do in such a short space of time to get ready to go this season.
Let's talk managers. So you mentioned Oxford there in 10th place in League One. Pep Clatet sacked this week. Was that harsh or not? It's a decent position, but it's expectations, I suppose, and recent results.
Yeah, it's harsh depending which stance you're on. If you're from the outside looking in like we are, I thought that was quite harsh. Harsh sacking. They're 8 points off 8 points off the playoffs. Fair enough, they're 8 points off relegation, but look at the amount of teams from 10th to 21st. They've got a big gap of teams in between. On paper, I thought it's quite harsh. I think Oxford, are they really anything more than a mid-table League One club in terms of resources, etc., they've got available? You'd probably say no, but then you speak to Oxford fans, a lot of them wanted to leave. A lot wanted the change to be made, a lot of criticism about the style of play, not just results as well, but it's been incredibly inconsistent. And that's probably why they do find themselves mid-table. So on face value, I thought it was a harsh sacking, but obviously when you look from those, who follow the club, who know the club, there seem to be reasons there as to why.
Yeah, Philip was talking about Bradford, but saying they had to go up last season. The league is stronger this time around. But there's no right for Oxford to be in the top six. When you look at those teams that are in front of them, you're not saying that they're in a false position or...
No, I think,
I don't know, for me, it's just, you look at Portsmouth, Peterborough, Rotherham, who've kicked back on, Charlton, who've turned the corner, Bradford, who were strong last year, Scunthorpe, who were strong last year, Shrewsbury, who've had a great season, Blackburn and Wigan. There's no given right for Oxford to be ahead of those teams at this stage of the season.
No, given resources available. Again, like I said, you look at them as a bit of a mid-table League One club this season. The resources they have, the kind of size of the club, etc., I know that doesn't play too much into it, but you've got to look at the fact they took on Pep Clatet, who first managerial gig in England, had previous managerial experiences elsewhere, but they took a bit of a risk at that. They played Leeds in pre-season. I thought they played very good football. But they played... looked like a good side, and you had high hopes for them. They started well. But for whatever reason, obviously, there's been unhappiness surrounding the club there, and they decided to make the change. But on face value, you're thinking, well, can they go any higher? Is it a bit like Claude Puel at Southampton, where he guided them to a good finish, probably the highest that they could have finished, and whatever there were grumblings about his style of play? I'm not too sure, but we'll have to wait and see if they... You imagine that they'd probably, if they made the change, they'd go for someone safe, someone who knows the experience, and then Frank Lampard pops up as the favourite amidst reports that he's taken, or he's had an interview. it's a bit of a massive risk. There's no guarantee that it's going to get any better under someone like that. You can only see it probably getting worse if it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, an interesting appointment if that one would happen. But fair play to Frank Lampard. There are a lot of managers, particularly of his profile or young coaches, looking to get into management that seem reluctant to drop down to League Two for the whether it's the style of football or the pay that they'll be getting when they drop down. But if he goes there, it'd be an interesting start to his managerial career.
Yeah, it would be, and fair play for kind of doing it the right way. If anything, you've got the likes of Ryan Giggs who believe it's their right to somehow have a Premier League job. Never understood why, but he's obviously seen an opportunity there, and if it's to be believed, he is going to go there. Michael Appleton, for me, probably was a safe bet. Been there before. I think, given his brief spell in charge of Leicester this season as caretaker, maybe he fancied getting back into management. Think he is a good manager overall, really, especially at League One level, especially with Oxford, a club he knows. Maybe that would have been a bit of a safer bet. But if they do go the way of Lampard, then we'll have to wait and see. But interesting to see how he does get on if he does get the job.
Yep, he 1-3 on at the moment. Frank Lampard, heavy favourite there, and you've got your specialist Simon Grayson. He's given the job. He'll get you out. He'll get you out.
I don't think he wants because the ball was in his court regarding MK Dons. Apparently, he wants to hold out for a Championship job. I'll have to wait and see on that one. But I'm
fed
surprised.
Up again, promotions, Simon Grayson.
Yeah, maybe he just wants to, you know. He's a League One specialist, isn't he? He knows how to get you out, but it's whether he want to take it. Just surprised, I think, given the fact they got rid of Clotet, they probably would have gone a bit safer than with Lampard, but he might do well. We'll have to wait and see if he does get the job.
The other game tonight, Bristol City in the League Cup semi-final against Manchester City. Of course, good performance in that first leg, fantastic performance, 1-0 up until City turned it round 2-1 in the end. Do you give them any chance tonight at Ashton Gate to become the third side to beat City this season?
I think they'll give it a good go. I really do. I think they eventually, like at the Etihad, they'll give it a good go, but they'll come undone, you feel. But take nothing away, to get to this stage of the competition anyway is fantastic. To get the results they did for the likes of beating Manchester United, giving a good account of themselves and losing narrowly at the Etihad, it's a big ask. It's a big ask. Man City are going to want to win trophies this season. They've spent a lot of money. They're playing some really good football. We're talking about them to go the entire season unbeaten. Amazing winning streak until the draw at Palace and then eventually the loss at Liverpool. They're going to want to win trophies. This for them. Manchester United are out. They know it's Arsenal or Chelsea that they'll face in the final. They'll probably go out pretty full strength on this one to win. And, you know, nothing against Bristol City, but eventually you imagine quality of player will prevail and City will get through. But I think, again, they'll give a good account of themselves. They'll give it a really good go. And look, who knows? Who knows? Stranger things have happened. They're capable, you feel, though, of causing a potential upset. But I can't see it.
Yeah, Manchester City in action tonight. They go to Bristol City. We have team news for that, actually. You can see the City team. Bravo, Walker, Stones, Otamendi, Zinchenko, Fernandinho, Bernardo, Silva, De Bruyne, Sane and Aguero.
There we go, then. There we go.
Pretty strong.
Obviously, the only weakish link is the left-back, but then I think Delph's out injured, isn't he? So probably an enforced one more than anything.
Yep, the City bench, Edison, Danilo, Company, Sterling, Gundogan, Mangala and Yaya Toure. So yeah,
again, like the first leg, if it's going wrong, look at some of the players they can bring on there. It's remarkable.
That's the Manchester City team tonight. We'll get the Bristol City one as well. But back to Leeds. A few people on Facebook, where we're live this evening, you can go and watch the show, continue to ask about Ross McCormack and whether this is a real potential of this move happening. Do you think that there is any chance you'll see him back in a Leeds shirt?
It's difficult football transfers because so many names are always looked at. You know, most clubs don't identify just one person. They'll have a list of numerous people that they could go for. McCormack could well be on that list. Could well be a player of interest. But I don't know. You're looking at finances involved. You're looking at various other bits as well. I'm not too sure. I think given Leeds' recruitment model, he doesn't really fit into that bill very well, given age, given future, what he could give in the future past this season, you're not too sure. So it doesn't really fit the Leeds model of recruitment at the moment. So I can't see it personally, but the picture could change when the window comes closer to an edge. They could look more short-term just to get some quality in.
And we were talking managers earlier on. Let's get to our favourite feature and hear from the man, the legend, Owen Coyle himself, who was signed... what a player that he signed today, Tom, up at Ross County.
Yeah, David Engog's joined, of course, played from at Bolton. Mark Wilson reliably informed / shouts at me that he paid $37,000 a week for him at Bolton. He's sorting him out, isn't he? He's sorting him out over at Ross County. By sort them out, I don't know if he will sort them out. We'll have to wait and see. They are struggling. But this week, he's been talking about Ross County and his job. You know, last week he spoke about the relationship. They're bottom, by the way. I've just checked. Still bottom. 4 wins in 22.
But don't worry, Devon and Goggs.
He's coming. So that's it.
Expect them
to overtake Celtic anytime shortly. Spoke last week about the relationship with the chairman. Continues why that's important, but how much he just loves being at Ross County.
The thing in football now, any manager, young and old, any manager craves that level of support from the chairman. They want to know that, you know, each day they're still signed from the same hip sheet, they still have the same goals, the same ambitions. And that was something I recognised in him, and I felt there was a really good feeling about it. I feel very fortunate to be at a wonderful club in Ross County because of the qualities that they have in the football club, the core values, the principles, and that sits really well with me.
There we go. Owen Coyle talking about his core values.
Core values, principles, it just fits him really well at Ross County, and they are flying, as we know.
Yes, a man with principles who dumped Burnley.
Yes.
To move to Bolton.
Yes.
For more money, and has subsequently ruined Bolton.
David Encog's there. It's all fine now. Everything that's happened before is irrelevant because he's managed to get his man. He's been there all winter, apparently. What a horrendous winter that would be, not just weather wise, but you can't imagine he's had too much fun.
I wonder what David Encog's on now. Say he was on 37k. What's that moment when you realise you're never getting 37k?
Definitely on something to go and work with Owen Coyle again. But in terms of money, I don't know. What are Ross County's finances? I'd be amazed if he's on like a tenth lower than that.
Must be
on like
four figures. I don't know.
You reckon he's going to be a high earner? I don't know. I generally don't know what wages are like in Scottish football, especially at Ross County, the bottom of the Premiership. Not exactly a massive Scottish footballing institution, are they? He's going to be on an absolute fraction of that. They're probably going to pay him with incentives as well, as in, we've got you 2-for-1 at the cinema. There you go. There's that, as well as your base pay of £400 a week.
I bet he's still got the best car in the training ground, though. Mr. Ungog.
He's probably living off his wages at Bolton still.
Probably. Maybe he just lives in that car.
Probably. Saves buying a house.
Let's do this.
Obviously, the result, 5-1, is disappointing. But again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with 3 defeats. So disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
Do you know what? I'd like to see that updated. I think it's a bit harsh now on Harry's capabilities. Maybe include that clip of me last week talking about him being second or whatever it was in the form table, something like that.
Yeah, something like that if you want. I'll see if I can be bothered. But yeah, I mean, you've got to imagine my motivation to change that to more positive things is going to be quite low.
But Crawley, they have dropped down this form table now after the weekend.
Yay. This feature that I suddenly wasn't enjoying that much anymore, I feel I can enjoy it a bit now. They kicked off the weekend's footballing action. They took on Newport County. Of course, Leeds have been there recently, and they lost by the same scoreline. 2-1, they were 2-0 down at half-time. Managed to get one just after half-time, early in the second half. Didn't work out. And the good news is, Sam, They are now, once again, closer to relegation than they are to promotion. They're 11 points off the top six, 10 points off the bottom. And they're back in action tonight against Notts County, who sits second, although we're in a bit of shaky form at the moment. So you never know. You never know.
You do never know. Yeah, I mean, that's all right. He's doing all right, Harry. That's only... It's nine points out of 12. Still 9 points out of 12.
Christmas period, it's so compact together, it gives off kind of false mirage. Is that an image? Like something that's not there? Gives off them.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's that's it for Harry Kuehl Watch, whatever this is called this week. Stalling, just so you'd have less time to do because it's Good Days, Bad Days, which now famously we just squeeze in at the end of the show, just to give Tom less time. I did praise you in the office earlier that you are very good at talking.
I'm very good at this, and I under pressure.
So we've got, if I just stall slightly more, then we've got about a minute and 20.
Oh, plenty of time. Plenty of time. Right, OK, then we'll go as Championship, of course. Good for Fulham. They hammered Burton Albion 6-0 at Craven Cottage. It does not get much better than that. And bad, where else? Leeds. They were down to 10 men. They lost, won, and then lost again. All in one game, a 4-3 thriller against Millwall. One of the most remarkable games of football I've probably seen live. League One, good for Bristol Rovers. They secured that 3-1 win over Bradford City, despite Bradford's away form currently. Bad for Oxford. Who else can we go? Lost 2-1 at home to Bury, who never win, and Pep Clotet inevitably lost his job. Good for Forest Green in League Two. They secured an impressive 5-2 win over Cambridge. We probably wouldn't associate them with scoring five and winning in League Two. But for Crawley, they lost. Harsh. Good days, bad days this week.
A couple of questions. We've still got time for very short answers. Philip, what I don't understand that Leeds are reluctant to pay $6 million for Marriott, yet they bid the same amount of money for Gested in the summer.
Not a question, that's a statement. Yes. There's your short answer,
okay.
Yes.
And Marks, any other thoughts whether Lasoga will be going back to Hamburg at the end of the season, or should Leeds buy him? He's not a fan.
Second half of the season, we'll wait and see, but there's a lot of wages and money involved, you imagine.
There we go. Thank you very much, Tom. You've got a couple of questions in. What a pro. Tom McGuire is next on the evening show. That's all we've got time for on the FL 72.